To have everybody here this morning. Brian,
yes, sir.
Would you pick someone to open us up, please?
Lord, I thank you for these two walls, girls. Lord, I pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that we can come here and study your word, Lord, and bless Bob. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, thank you. Well, good morning again, everyone. If you remember last couple weeks, I've been speaking about having a good life, right? How many people here would like to have a good life? Of course, we all want a good life. But shamefully, sometimes as Christians, we're almost ashamed of having a good life. Like that sends a bad message or something, you know, that we're all joyful, things are going great, right? Like there's something wrong with having money. There's something wrong with having a nice house, a nice car, pretty clothes like me. As long as we remember, it's not from us, it's a blessing from God, right? And if you remember, we only have two choices. You're either blessed or you're cursed. There is no in-between, right? There is no Switzerland in the kingdom. Not that Switzerland was ever neutral anyway, they played both sides. But we always use that as an example, and that's not true in Christianity. It's always, there is no gray area in Christianity. You're either blessed or you're cursed, one or the other. And we all know people like that. Look at Brian here. There's a man that's blessed. A man that dumb and ugly. Has a beautiful house, drives a Corvette, has a beautiful wife. He doesn't deserve any of that. He could never get that on his own. Look, he has nothing going for him except God, right? But that's all you need, right, Brian?
All I need.
That's all you need is God. And everything else will go your way. But we have to remember that. And I say that not in jest mostly, but, you know, we get together. Mostly. Yes, you do have a Corvette. You do have a lovely wife, a great house, right? Kids. So partially it's true. You do look nice. Not as nice as me, but you do look nice. I use this as a definition if somebody would think of what is a good life, what constitutes a good life. What I had down was to have a long, peaceful, joyful, healthy, and prosperous life. Now, what more could anyone ask for in this life? And if we talked about, you notice there was a recurring theme all through this, and that was what? Obedience. To have all of these things, every one of them lined up with being obedient, right? To God's word. You want to have a long life. It said, walk with the Lord. Keep his commands. You have peace. There is no peace without God in your life, is there? That's why we're all here. There was nobody here because they were had it too good before they were saved. Also, prosperous. There's nothing wrong with being prosperous. That's not our first goal. Prosperity should be a symptom of Christianity. Write that down. Prosperity is a symptom of Christianity. If you're an obedient Christian walking in the way of the Lord, you should be prosperous. I don't mean rich, throwing money around like that, but you should be prosperous. Right? There is nothing wrong with that. Through, how do you get, you don't wait to hit the lottery. You know how many people their retirement plan is, I'm going to hit the lottery. You use some common sense and some wisdom that comes from God and you plan ahead for things like that. You put money away and so forth. Right? That's how you get to be prosperous, not by hitting the lottery. But today, I'm going to talk about one of the last couple items we have are joyfulness and health. I thought I would start off with joyful, since I always see everyone walking in here of a morning looking so joyful, right? Why are we joyful? Pardon? Because we have God, right? We've turned our life over to Christ. But could I ask, do anybody here know a Christian that doesn't always look joyful? We've seen some sour lemon Christians. I think we all know them, right? We all know somebody like that. They claim to be saved, but they're always miserable or always complaining, right? They're never happy. All they want to do, they say, is just hang on till God returns. If I can just hang on to this table. Can I take this table to heaven with me? Can I? Right? If I can just hang on. You know, I'm saved. I don't care about anybody else. If I can just hang on and make it. Well, with an attitude like that, let me tell you, you're not going to make it. We're only here a very short time. Everybody remembers that teaching Kenny's done a couple times about having that 50-foot rope or 100-foot or 1,000-foot, whatever it is. And on the very end, he had 1 inch of blue tape. And that's our life here. The rest is eternal, right? This is building for the eternal. Live like there is a tomorrow. Don't live like there is no tomorrow. There's always a tomorrow for us. The only not given is where we spend it. And whose choice is that?
Ours.
Who said that?
Me.
Thank you. You have such a smart wife. Back turned, not even listening, but still agrees. I like that. Now let's real fast talk about wisdom. Let's see who here is wise. If it's our choice, then I have a choice of either I can go to heaven, which is a pretty nice place, high rent area, and be blessed forever and ever and ever and 2 days after that. Or there's only two choices. Or I go to hell, live in damnation, torment, and out of God's presence forever and ever and ever. Now, is there anybody dumb enough here to choose the second? Because if you are, please come up for prayer. All right? But yet, do we live our lives that way? We should live our lives as if we're looking towards the eternal. But be happy doing it. My goodness. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, right? Even as hard as I try not to, there's forgiveness, right? The one thing that should make us joyful is knowing, if nothing else, if we don't even have a place to lay our head, we're scrounging up one meal a day. If we're on our way to heaven, we should be joyful. If God done nothing else for you from the moment you got saved, you could never repay him. But my goodness, he lays all these other things on us too. Free. How many like free? I know it's mostly the ladies that raise their hands. I like that. You ladies are bargain hunters. Yes. Free is good. But honestly, they're not free. And that's the point. He asks one basic thing. If you do this, everything else will fall in place. Keep his commands. Keep his precepts. Know your word and obey it. That was the entire theme for the last 2 weeks, and it's going to be for today too. That if you want any one of these things, they all come through obedience, right? Not through disobedience, but through obedience. If you don't get anything else from this, get that idea. So we will joyfully take a look at joy. In a couple weeks, Brian will be going just the opposite. He's going to be speaking about anger. But next week will be Ray Silva, and honestly, I don't know what Ray is going to be speaking about. But I'm pretty sure it's out of the Word of God. Pretty sure. Do you know what he's speaking about? Thankfulness. That goes right hand in hand with everything that I've talked about the last 3 weeks. We should be Who should be a thankful people if not us, right? Forget the pilgrims. We're the thankful ones. They just got thankful because they got an Indian give them a turkey. I'm thankful because I'm on my way to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
That turkey still is all ate up, but heaven's still there. Always loved that commercial back in the 70s, I think it was. Give the gift that keeps on giving. It was for a jewelry store. It's about diamonds, right? You know, even diamonds will pass away before heaven does. It's ever and ever. Me and Sarge are about halfway to forever now, aren't we? We're just about at the halfway mark. You might be a little past it, but I don't want to say anything.
Halfway?
Let's take a look at joyful. The first thing I would like to say is, if you would turn with me to Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. And forgive me again, I said turn to. Scroll your devices to it. The only ones that have Bibles are me and Roger. Psalm 16, verse 11. You will make known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That's what we should all look forward to. Make known to me your paths. In other words, obedience. How can you be on the right path? If God is showing you the right path and you're on it, you're always going to be happy, no matter where you are. If you're not in the place that God wants you, on the path that He wants you, no matter how well things are going, you're never going to be at peace. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to be joyful. It's not your surroundings. Joy is like peace. It's an inward thing, but it boils over on the outside. We can just look at somebody and say, man, they're a happy person, or man, they're a miserable person, right? Without even talking to them, just by the way they act, their face even, right? I mean, all day we run into people. You're in line. I always look when I get ready to check out. Okay, I look and see if there's somebody that looks like they just sucked a lemon. I ain't going to get in their line, right? I'll go find another one because they're always complaining, never happy. Turn with me to, stay in Psalms, but turn to chapter 19, verse 8. Psalm 19, 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Pastor Don, what does precept mean? Precepts are what?
Precepts are his law. They're parts of law. So they use analogies like precepts,
yep.
Word, yep. Commands, statutes, kind of refer to the same thing, though they are a little bit different. So precepts would be a
section taking out concerning one individual thing, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. But what are we talking about again? Basically, God's word, right? God's written word. Because God isn't going to come up with something new. Everything is in the book already, right? It's all covered, so you don't have to worry about anything new on the test. It's all there. But he's asking for what? Obedience. Says here, plain and simple. The precepts or laws of the Lord are right. Good thing, if we could only get our lawmakers to read this. Right? The precepts of the law are right. But I don't think it'd make much difference. Who said they wanted to be right to begin with? They think they're right in their own mind, and that's enough for them. And if it isn't right, we'll change it later. And if that don't work, we'll change it again. And then again, and then again. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. God's law should bring us joy as we walk out it in the path that He's directed us. That's where our joy comes from, walking out God's word. We should be. It's fun to do this. You see Pastor Don up there all the time telling stories and stuff, right? I see you guys sitting back here laughing. Should be up here. You guys up here telling these stories, right? The only difference between you and Pastor Don, you guys are younger. You have more time to do it, right? There's nothing that Pastor Don has that you don't have. God will give you everything that you need to do what He asks you. You don't have to have the title of pastor or ex-cop or any kind of title, right? All you have to have title is Christian and God sent me. And the doors will open, right? How many times have we heard people get up on a Sunday morning and talk about how miraculous doors opened up for jobs and so forth, right? Right, young lady? Your son-in-law was just up the other day, right? Speaking on that. You know, those things are God. When they tell a young man that, you know, he'd be lucky if he gets a job, I think he got it after a week or something. And then they tell him, well, it'll be 11 months to 2 years before you might hear from us. How long was it before they called him?
A week.
Is that opening doors? That's opening doors. Now, why would that happen? God, the man is blessed. The man is favored, right? Take that. You got two choices, blessed or cursed. Give me the blessed side, right? And to get that blessing is we have to be obedient to God. God will not bless disobedience. Write that one down too. God cannot bless disobedience. If you're disobedient to his word and expect something good to happen, you don't have long enough to wait because it's not going to happen. Psalm. I'm going to stay in Psalms. Psalms is very joyful, right? Because why? They're singing to the Lord. In most cases, it's written to the Lord. Psalm 126, verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Is there anyone here that the Lord hasn't done great things for? Again, is there anyone here that the Lord hasn't done? Okay, so the Lord has done great things in everybody's life. Is everybody here joyful?
Yeah, I'm joyful, Bob.
I know you're not awake, but even in your sleep, you should be joyful. I sleep unto the Lord. Right, Sharon? That's right, because I love the Lord. I take two naps a day because I love God. No, my God. But to be joyful is an outward showing of our Christianity. Right? It should be. How in the world are we all called to go out and be a witness? Right? Everybody is called to be a witness. What kind of a witness is if you're walking around like you sucked a lemon? Complaining about everything. You know, like last week, Pastor Don gave me a $100 bill. It was wrinkled.
What?
It was wrinkled. Gosh. Listen, if Pastor Don gives me a $100 bill, I have my wife iron it. It'll be fine. I'll take it, okay? But the point is, some people will complain about anything, even the good things, because maybe I didn't get enough. Maybe somebody got it before me, right? You know, being part of a body is being blessed by anybody else getting anything. Anything that happens to Eddie blesses me. Anything that happens to me should bless Eddie, and that goes for everyone here. Because we're one body, one mind, one spirit, one accord, right? And just the opposite, when things aren't going good, right? We should be there for each other. And joyfully. How does it say to go through trials and tribulations? Joyfully. Does that make sense? Sure. Because even if, let me explain this one now. It says joyfully go through times of trouble and tribulation, right? That makes no sense to us. But if we think about it, even if you're not saved, how many people here were not saved since birth? Okay, most of us, right? Before you were saved, did you ever have problems? All right, but you didn't have God with you to help you through them. That's why we should go through them joyfully now, not because we're joyful of the things that's happening. Joyful that God is there with us, right? Fighting for us. It's better than having a good lawyer. All right, listen. I'm going to sum joy up. The main thing to always remember, and I'll stay in Psalms, is Psalm 51:12. Psalm 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Restore to me. If you have something, does it need to be restored? God knows we're going to lose our joy. We're human, most of us. We're human. We're going to walk away from our joy or we're going to lose it. How to get it back? Stop and think about your salvation, right? No matter what you're going through, you're saved and going to heaven. Just think of that, no matter what's going on around you, right? My joy doesn't come from what's going on around me. My joy comes from comes from knowing that I'm saved and going to heaven. Amen? But we don't even have to wait for there to have joy. It's the whole idea of talking about having a good Christian life. A good Christian life should be filled with joy. It's not that there's never going to be sorrow. Of course there is. But the joy will outweigh that. Because what could come against salvation? How great salvation is there anything so bad that it negates salvation? No. It's not easy going through these things, but knowing that God is there with it, and we will make it through. Everybody here is still alive. Everybody here has went through plenty of problems. We usually make it through it. It's how we go through it, joyfully or not, that makes the difference on the outcome. Hold on. Sarge.
Like I said, on the Joy FM and the radio, I hear it, and it really affects me. I think it affects a lot of people that don't think about it. It says, yeah, even if your prayers aren't answered. Yeah, you ever heard that song?
Yep.
You still, you know, can't give up. Just, you know, if your prayers aren't answered, you think about it, something goes wrong right away, first thing you do, you turn your back.
Yep.
And get rid of the, you know, the heat. You should suck it up, soldier. Suck it up.
That's right. You're absolutely right. But think about it this way. God always answers prayer. It seems like to us that he's not answering it, but you know what? He's saying no. Sometimes that's for our own good. If God tells us no, there's a reason for it, right? It's for our good, or he's working something out in somebody else's life and the two will have to come together. It's all in timing. But it seems like to us he's not answering us there. He's not hearing us. God, don't you hear me? We want to save up and buy God a hearing aid. God hears us. He does not need a hearing aid. John 15:9. John 15:9-11. I'll go all the way through 11. As the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy be made complete. Don't walk through life hating. Walk through life loving. There's things to hate, but there's a lot more things to love than to hate, right? Starting with yourself. If you can't love yourself, how can you help me? Love yourself because God made you. Well, why did he make me this way? Because he's God. What would you have rather been made? It's his timing. He made you who you are, the way you are, and for specific plan and purpose, right? And as long as you're walking that out, you're going to be totally happy. When you stand in front of the Maker, and everybody here will, he's going to ask you one question, probably. Now, I don't know. Don't quote me on this. I've never been there yet. I get closer every day, but I haven't been there yet. Did you do what I ask you? That's going to be basically it. You're going to be judged on what you did and what you didn't do, on what he asked you to do. He's not going to judge you against anything except his word, because he's never going to ask you to do anything that goes against his word. So as long as you keep God's word, you have nothing to fear. But I know that every one of us, our knees will be knocking when we're standing in front of him, right? We'll be thinking of the million things we've done wrong. But we have Christ there interceding for us, right? Saying, forgive Bobby. You know he's a big dummy, Lord. Come on, give him a little break. That's what you get. Your joy will be complete. My joy, God's joy in you will be complete if you keep his laws. That's the blessing. Now let's go to the flip side of that coin. What happens if we don't keep his laws? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45 and 48. This is what happens if we don't keep his laws. all these curses will come on you. The whole beginning of this chapter was curses. How many people like curses? Okay, good. We're on a good footing here. Okay. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. What does destroyed mean? I'll buy that. Thank you. Not in God's presence, right? We're never going to be destroyed. We're either going to be in heaven or hell. But we'll feel like we're destroyed. Until you're destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you. Everybody have on their device or their Bible? That's his laws and decrees, right? He's not hiding them. You don't have to guess. They're written out plainly. And if you don't understand them, that's why he puts you in a church with pastors that can happily explain anything you don't understand. There will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever. Because you did not serve, there will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever. That sign is that God is with us. We are blessed, coming in and going out. How many here know families that are cursed? I mean, we all do. I know of people that no matter, even if something goes right, it's like for a day, and then it gets worse. It's like that little cartoon where the cloud is over the kid, little thunderstorm, and he's all pigpen. Thank you. We know people like that, don't we? Whole families that are alcoholics, whole families that have different problems, right? They just permeate through generation after generation because they're cursed. And that all those families, no matter what the thing is that's against them, they have one thing in common. They're not keeping the Lord's commands and decrees. Right? How many times have we seen people come into this church and just get their socks blessed off? Brian doesn't even own a pair of socks anymore. He's so blessed. We're worried about his shoes. He's so blessed, we're worried. I check him every day to see he has his shoes on. But we've heard all kinds of stories, haven't we? Pastor, you know of all kind of people that have come in here. You know of dozens and dozens of people that have come in here, right, Pastor, and got blessed. And it doesn't take long for those blessings to start. Do you know of one person that came in here, committed their life to God, started doing what was right, and things didn't change for the better? He's shaking his head. Is anybody else in here? You're all members of this church, been here a long time. Ken helped build the basement. So do you remember of anybody ever coming in, Ken, that was worse off for being here? No. Yes, sir. Hold on, Brian.
I was going to have you tell the story about that guy that came in with the, you know, didn't have no hair. Remember he had that disease? His kids were
Lord.
Demoniacs.
Yes. He wasn't the chef, was he? He was, that's another story. We got all kind of stories. This guy come in, his marriage was a wreck. His life was a wreck. His kids, has anybody here seen The Exorcist? Times four. I mean, they were standing on the wall or they're going halfway up. They would not do anything. He was dragging them in for about the first two. I mean, literally dragging them in. Smacking them in the head, throwing them in. They'd run back out. It was honestly that bad. It wasn't probably 2 or 3 months at the most. It probably wasn't even that. I looked over there one day and they're all four sitting in a row. Just like that. That was God. The only change in his life is he started coming to church, started doing what God had told him to do. His marriage was restored. He got all kind of blessings except for wisdom. Because the big dummy come to us and said, well, I think I've got all I can get here. That I think God is telling me it's time to move. He was going back to the church that his whole family was tore up. His kids were climbing the walls. He got all that he can here. I'm going to go back to the other church. Good move. Do I need to expound on this and say what happened to this guy? Okay. We see of so many. Give you another case, the one that I thought Pastor Don was talking about at first. We had another one. A lot of bald-headed people. This guy might be a theme here. The guy had no hair, but he was a trained chef. I'm not using any names. I've changed the names to protect the guilty. He was a trained chef, professionally trained chef. And the best he could do, I think he was a sous chef in a Coney Island or something. He was not doing well. He had no money. That's right, at a school or something, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah, we all know you have to be a gourmet chef to warm something up at a school, right? He wasn't making any money. Everything was falling apart. His wife, I believe, had already left him at this time. His kids, needless to say, in a case like this, how do you think they were doing? Terrible. He comes here. He turns his life over to the Lord. He follows some simple biblical advice, you know, you do what's right, we'll pray for you. It wasn't long. God restored his marriage. Was his marriage restored? That was his greatest prayer. His children were brought back into obedience. He got an offer just out of the blue to be a cook at one of the big casinos, head chef or assistant head chef.
Head chef.
Do you imagine from warming stuff up in a microwave? He didn't go to any more schooling. Only thing he did was come to church and start obeying the Lord. Now he's in charge, got an entire kitchen, people working for him. He's driving a Mercedes. He drives up in front of the church in the Mercedes. And what did he tell you, Pastor? Would you give Pastor the microphone, please? He was going back. If you remember, too, God had asked him to move on, too. He said almost the same thing. He had got all he could here, and he thought it was time to move on.
To move on, yeah.
And you asked, well, where are you going? Well, I don't have a place yet.
Right, right. He was moving
on. But I'm going to go. I know God has something better. He left.
You know, Bob, it reminded me of the lepers that Christ healed. You know, they all took off. One came back. And you see that so many times in a lot of Christians' life. God begins cleaning up our lives, setting us right. We get these blessings. Sometimes they separate us from God. It's almost better if they wouldn't have got it, you know.
You're absolutely right.
But God's showing them, you know, that there is no excuse. Look what I did for you. Now you turn your back, you never come back, give them thanks. And can guarantee you, you know, and you see these people 2 or 3 years later, everything's falling apart, they're divorced, kids are worse off, you know. That's why it says in Hebrews, it's better that they never knew than to turn their back and to go back. Because now you always have the Spirit of God, you know, checking your heart, and you go from bad to worse when that happens. You really do.
Let me finish with this next sentence. It's on the same vein. Because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in times of prosperity. That's why you're cursed. We've had people come in here. Numerous people, like we say, get their life together. Know of one gentleman. He started getting all kind of overtime, making all kind of money. He was praying for more money. He works by the hour. How do you get more money? Work more hours. He was working 10, 12 hours, 6 days a week. He started accumulating all kind of toys, four-wheelers. He had a boat now. You know, he's out there spending like a big spender. Here, all of a sudden, we don't start seeing him on a Sunday. Well, where were you? Well, you know, God blessed me with this four-wheeler. I had to go out and use it, and I work every other day. Okay. You know how long that lasted? Pretty soon, he just ain't coming. What happened? I don't know, but you can guess, right? Why do people do that? There, it's simple wisdom. Always remember, everything we have comes from God, right? It keeps you very humble that I have nothing, I deserve nothing. The only thing I have is what God, out of his mercy and love, gives me. I'm responsible for what he gives me, how I use it, right?
That's right.
Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to close now. We thank you guys for coming these last 3 weeks. But remember, it's good to have a good life if it's a Christian life. All of these things are symptoms of Christianity. If you're an obedient, good Christian, these things should flow. Some more than others, some less than others. Some more on some people, some less on others. God knows what you can handle, right? I don't. I'd probably hit the lottery. I'd go crazy. I'd go out like Carol and buy a red Jeep convertible. Drive around all day like Miss America. Ha! 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 Or like Brian, I'd go buy me a Corvette. But God knows what I can handle, and that's what He will give me. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Next week, we're going to be honored with having Ray and his lovely wife there. What did you say he was speaking on again? Thankfulness, that's it. They're going to be teaching together. But it'll be blessed to hear Sandra speak. She speaks at a lot of the women's meetings. I'm actually trying to give some of the ladies that mainly speak at the women's meetings some chance to speak in front of a mixed group. And believe me, you are a mixed up group. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Brian, would you close us, please?
Lord God, we just want to thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for Bob, Lord, and his faithfulness with this lesson. Lord, let us apply it to our lives, Father, that we would be obedient to your word, Lord God, that we would be a joyful people, Lord, that people would see your joy in us, Lord God, and, Lord, that we would lead others to you because of that great joy, Lord God. And Father, we just praise you, and we thank you for this great day. Just bless the service today, and we give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.